We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Big news to be Chris Bryant and the Giants.
Yes, I am. Yes, it's got to be. You have to do something. It would be criminal. It would be irresponsible not to do something. And if that's the last domino left to fall, it has to be Chris Bryant to the Giants and probably for Joey Bart.
Man, so many dominoes that are falling. Ken Rosenthal reporting that the Phillies are close to acquiring right-hand pitchers Kyle Gibson and Ian Kennedy from the Rangers. That broke about a minute ago. So, guys, we're looking at a wild last hour of the MLB trade deadline. Of course, it all must be consummated by 1 o'clock, 58 minutes from now. And I would imagine that the refresh button on everyone's computer is going to be very active as the deals feel now. And JD, you mentioned it earlier all week that deadlines are what predicate action. And here we are. The deadline is almost upon us, and we got action.
Action everywhere, and look, a little bit of pressure on Farhan Zaidi considering the fact that so many other teams have made moves. I actually thought Josh Harrison could have been a potential option for the Giants, a smaller move. He goes to the A's along with Yan Gomes. So the A's making moves as well. They are continuing to try and make the smaller moves, but push forward and remain in that wild card hunt. So that's another, I think, with Josh Harrison. I think, you know, right-handed bat, can play multiple positions. I actually thought
former All-Star.
Yeah, he could be one of the, not going to cost you really anything, but you could plug him in maybe to an outfield slot or somewhere on the infield if you need some depth. So now he's off the board. So, yeah, I think it is back to the shiniest object, and my goodness, the Cubs just blowing the whole thing up. It is a wrap for the Cubs, that group, that core that won a World Series and broke the curse in 2016.
Night-night.
So, yep, Bryant, the last domino to fall among that group.
From the 650-888-957-9570, I think the Giants will stand pat and not make a move before the deadline. They have to, don't they? I will say this. Everybody who knows Farhan, I don't pretend to know Farhan especially well, but Dave Fleming, for example, on our station saying, look, Farhan is not going to do something just because of what anybody else did. But we know they've been talking about Chris Bryant. Right. We know that he makes a ton of sense and would really fit with what the Giants are doing. And you do have to at least acknowledge that the Dodgers have made some tremendous strides. I mean, it's like this week, Dibs, you talked about the seven games against the Dodgers almost being like a series. And the Giants blew up the Dodger Death Star. And so they just went out. They built another one.
Yeah, and they built it pretty quick, too. It was,
it's a trap!
Yeah, it is a trap, and ultimately now you're going to have to blow the darn thing up again in October, presuming that they get there and that you, in fact, face them in the postseason. And maybe you go out and, you know, you recruit some additional fighters, some additional Jedi here at the deadline. You're down to 56 minutes to figure out, you know, who's left. If it's Chris Bryant, and I know that they're linked to Bryant as maybe the last big piece that could possibly be out there. To me, if you just added Bryant at the deadline, that would be significant because ultimately you need pitching depth at the top of the rotation. Sure, it'd be great to have another closer in the back end. I get that. But if you can add a bat and a right-hand hitting bat, JD, on a team that seems to be a little bit more left-hand dominant, that to me would be a great add, no matter if you add anybody else.
And he can play multiple positions, guys, and I think there would be a potential for the Giants, who are going to have a lot of money that they can spend with so few players under contract for 2022. Maybe you wind up looking at trying to keep Chris Bryant around as a part of the future core. I think that could be in play as well as the Phillies. Another starting pitcher and closer combo off the board, Kyle Gibson and Ian Kennedy coming from Texas to the Phillies. I didn't really like either of those names, but again, more moves being made.
Yeah, if the Giants get Chris Bryant, that would be exciting. But if that's the only thing they do, I would still be left with this feeling like they didn't get done what they needed to get done, because Farhan has been saying, and I think he's been upfront about this, starting pitching. We need starting pitching. I don't know who's left, but I do know that with Gausman struggling in his last start, DeSclafani struggling, and yeah, it was against the Dodgers. He always struggles against them. And then you look at Scherzer going to the Dodgers, and even the Padres got Daniel Hudson. They got a little bit of help for their bullpen. If the Giants are not able to address the pitching staff, if they're not able to add a starter, to me, at the trade deadline, you lose.
Yeah, you do. You definitely lose. And I think this would, Dibs, if the Giants do nothing and then they wind up not winning the division and let's say play in the wild card game and they lose that, but if the Giants do nothing and the Dodgers overtake them, for as great as this season would have been coming out of nowhere, I think Farhan Zaidi would get some heat from the Giants fan base for doing nothing and then coming up short.
If, in fact, it ends with a wild card loss to the Padres, let's say, theoretically, that's the way that goes. You know, the Dodgers take you out in the division, Giants lose the wild card, and you don't even get the series, you just get the one piece. Well, then it's going to be the questions about, okay, what about next year? All these prospects you didn't want to trade, I hope they're all ready to come up here, whether it's Ramos or Sean Gelly or Harrison or whoever those players are, Joey Bart. You're going to want to see them sooner rather than later if you didn't want to trade him for help in a year where, you know, this could be ripe for the taking.
Here's the thing, and I know that we're not sure yet what's going to happen, what the Giants are going to do, but the Giants at this point, having done nothing, all right, and the A's having added Marte, having added Chafin, having added now Harrison, and who'd they add? Yan Gomes, did they add today as well? I mean, the A's making moves, the Giants in first place doing nothing. To quote the great Bill King, is anything real in the world anymore?
Yeah. No, that's right on the runny. I mean, and these are all kinds of moves. I mean, the A's are making the kinds of moves that I think we all thought that the Giants would be looking to
yes.
make.
And
it's the exact
and
type.
Yes.
Yeah, get a couple of guys that aren't going to cost you much, and you move forward, or maybe there is somebody that's on the 40-man, like a Jesus Luzardo, who you are willing to give up.
Yeah.
But you're giving your team a little bit of a boost.
Mm-hmm. I think that Chris Bryant now becomes the ultimate, I guess, pendulum player in all this for Farhan. If the Giants can get Bryant, Giants fans can say, okay, we did what we needed to do at the deadline. But if you don't get Bryant, it feels now with the Cubs basically in a fire sale mode with 51 minutes to go in the deadline, it feels like now more than ever before is the time where you could get Bryant for less than you could have a day ago, 2 days ago, a week ago, etc. And so because of that, if the Giants don't get Chris Bryant, you know, maybe it's just as simple as Joey Bart for Chris Bryant, one for one. Probably not that simple, but it feels like, Whitey, the price for Bryant's coming down dramatically.
Yeah, if these pitchers, they keep coming off the board. The pitchers have kept coming off the board. So I've been wondering, well, who else is out there from the 707 here? And thanks again for your participation. 888-957-9570 from the 707, the seat of all knowledge and wisdom. Look for Zach Davies going with Chris Bryant. All right. I mean, that would be something. from the 650. The Giants are playing with house money. They're 2 to 3 years ahead of schedule already. It's a no-lose situation. Even if they lose the one-game play-in game, they were supposed to suck, remember? Yeah, but everything changes when you have the best record in baseball as August approaches, doesn't it? I mean, I think we had house money. We had a great year no matter what. I mean, that's down the drain already.
I mean, I don't know if it's completely down the drain, but here's the deal. Being a couple of years ahead of schedule for this team, to me, doesn't matter as much because it's not like a lot of this team is guaranteed to even be around next year,
right.
Let alone 2 years from now. Like, this team is almost, and it is a unique position, this team is its own entity. It's one more run with Buster and with Crawford and with Belt if he comes back and all of these fines that Farhan's been able to acquire, but none of it. It's not like this is a young core.
You're right.
That's
this is up a, this
and
is
doing
a souffle.
This.
Yeah, JD, this is a souffle that is not built to last.
But delicious.
Yeah. No.
And could be an unbelievable meal if you can get the darn thing to hold up. Because I know you've made many a souffle in your day, Whitey, because Vallejo is the seed of all souffles and, you know, frittatas. And
the souffle is not my forte, Dibs.
Yeah, thank you. Shout out Matt Forte, the former Bears running back. But, you know, your young core is there, but they're all in the minors. So as far as, you know, your Major League roster, I believe they have the oldest roster in all of Major League Baseball. So your core is still yet to come, but you don't necessarily want to give up on this year in light of what you have in the future.
JD, I apologize because when you were talking, I did to you what Lamont Wade Jr. did to Justin Turner yesterday, and I apologize because I kind of cut you off there and your arm got bent back. But you made a key point, and I could not agree with you more than I do, and that is, how can the Giants be ahead of schedule if a number of these starting pitchers go elsewhere next year because you've relied so much on them? You're not ahead of schedule if your pitchers leave.
Right. You're not ahead of schedule if the team could have 20 new players on it next year because you've got four currently under contract. Now, this would be a different conversation if Joey Bart and Luciano and Ramos were, you know, playing center field and catcher and shortstop, and this team, oh my God, with some of the other players Farhan's been able to bring in, wow, this team's ahead of schedule. All these young players that are going to be around for the next 5 or 6 years are really good. Maybe you hold back and you know, because the future is bright. This team next year projects to be completely different than it is this year.
Yeah, and that's where you can maybe start to make decisions for next year, this year. And you look at Minnesota, who apparently their doors are wide open. According to sources, Josh Donaldson and Kenta Maeda both being made available late before the deadline. I know Donaldson still has a couple of big, juicy, big, fat years left on his deal. And you've got Longo for the next year as well. So maybe third base is not a spot where you necessarily are looking to overspend. But Minnesota appears open for business.
By the way, I just got word, and I apologize, Dibs, I didn't mean to leave you hanging there, but I just got word, 12:30, I want to confirm this, Keith Smart, Arkansas men's basketball assistant coach, former head coach of the Warriors, Keith Smart, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. So Keith Smart, former Warrior head coach, joining us at the bottom of the hour here on a wild, wild Bananza Day on 95.7 The Game. All right, as we anxiously wait to see what, if anything, the Giants are able to get done. How about the Dodgers now? And they left San Francisco with their tails tucked between their legs once again. But how much better are the Dodgers now as they add Trey Turner on top of Max Scherzer?
Incredible. Incredible when you look at what, and that gives them a little bit of a look at their future because they know they have Trey Turner under control, and that allows them flexibility with Corey Seager, who now probably finds himself out the door come free agency. And I think that's something to continue to monitor. The Giants are going to have a hell of a question as far as what do they do at shortstop? Is it bring Brandon Crawford back, or is it look to maybe add one of the many shortstops that will be available, including potentially now Seager with this addition of Trey Turner? But Turner can play multiple positions in the short term.
Yeah.
I mean, they are set up. They are loaded. I mean, look at their playoff rotation. Like, they are now set up, and I think this is why they were so hell-bent, Dibs, on adding starting pitching. It was the fact that they want to hedge both ways. Yes, they want to overtake the Giants and have the best team between now and the end of the year to win the division, but they also want to be able to pitch Walker Buehler in a wild card game if they have to, and then still be able to line up for a division series if they win that with Max Scherzer and Danny Duffy and maybe Clayton Kershaw,
man,
to get them back to Walker Buehler, who'd be pitching in a game three.
Yeah, that's a pretty deep rotation there when you don't even mention the best pitcher this year, the second best pitcher for the Dodgers, Julio Urias, who's also very much in the mix as well. And the fact that Clayton Kershaw feels like, it'd be a nice bonus if we got him back, as opposed to, boy, we need our ace. And David Price, I know yesterday wasn't terrific, but another arm that they have in the bullpen, or you know, somebody they can use as a spot starter as well. It feels like the Dodgers are shoring up, and the Giants now down to 44 minutes, Whitey, left until the trade deadline comes. And you talk about, the A's are making moves all over the board with them poised to acquire Yan Gomes and Josh Harrison from the Nationals.
Yeah.
The A's might add four or five players and the Giants zero. That would be a true trade deadline shocker.
I know, absolutely it would. And about this time yesterday, we heard from Ken Rosenthal, supposedly, that the Padres are very close to acquiring Max Scherzer. Yeah, remember? And we said at the time, we said, hey, it's not a done deal. How do you report something like that?
Fat choke artist.
Exactly what I was going to say. Ken Rosenthal is a choke artist for making us think that Scherzer was, of course, for the Giants, I guess. I mean, I guess if you're the Giants, you'd rather him go to the Padres than the Dodgers, but still, erroneous reporting there. Why do you report that something's going to happen and then it didn't? This is just the worst possible scenario for the Giants to have the Dodgers getting Scherzer and Trey Turner, who's probably a little underrated, right, JD? I mean, he's a phenomenal shortstop.
Yeah, really good shortstop, all-star, can run, he's the total package, hit for power. I think as far as that Rosenthal report went, I think it was a scenario where it was leaked as close, and Rosenthal went with it, but it was almost, I took that as, hey, Dodgers, if you're going to come to the table, get your best offer on the table, and let's see if we can work something out. It was very clear that it was almost and not done. So I think that was the Dodgers maybe, or I think the Nationals rather, using Rosenthal to tell the Dodgers that they needed to step that offer up. I actually kind of wondered about that at the time, and as we left the air, it wasn't 100% official, and I thought, God, what's going on there? Because everything Whitey led to and Dibs, the fact that Scherzer, if he had his first pick, it would be the Dodgers. So something just didn't smell right to me on that front.
Well, and as a 10-5 guy, he has the right to refuse any trade. So especially when a rumor gets thrown out there, it's like, ooh, Scherzer to San Diego, and he picks up the phone. No. No, I'm not. Go ahead and try that one again. And it's, you know, Scherzer to the Dodgers. Okay. I'm good with that. And then the deal gets consummated. It's always crazy this time of day, this time of year, because the fake accounts are throwing out all kinds of rumor. And so make sure you check and you discount, double check all of the news that's popping up. I famously got burned in this market at this level by a former PD who charged over to me, put his phone in front of me and said, are you going to break this? Are you going to break this? And I said, okay. And so I took it and used it in my next sports update. Come to find out that the boss had been duped by a fake account. So my breaking news turned out to be faking news.
And what did that boss do to make that up to you?
Beep, 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 beep. Not a damn thing is the
That's
the
awful.
Answer. Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, it was my fault because it's my mouth and my microphone, and my voice breaking said faking news. But it's just a reminder to everyone, double check the blue check mark. Make sure the news is real with 40 minutes left to go.
Yeah, and also parse every word. Like yesterday, it would have been easy for us to say, oh, Scherzer to the Padres, you know, but we look very closely. So, not a done deal yet. So be very careful in that regard, obviously. Dibs, what if the Giants aren't able to get some done? Who knows? Hopefully they will. But what if they've got this team they have now, and then you have Belt coming back, hopefully. You got Longoria coming back. I think you mentioned already Sanchez coming back. I mean, what do you think of this team's chances? Again, that's if they don't add anything significant of bringing this thing home and at least winning the division, at least winning a wild card game.
It's the same chance that Guru has every week Thursday at 12:48 playing Jeopardy, which is, I mean, there's a chance, but definitely Spadoni. It feels a little bit like, oh, because the Padres got better, the Dodgers got a whole lot better. And you're not, you know, holding on to the division by the skin of your teeth. You have a 3-game lead. You've been dominant, best team in baseball. But when you think about the rest of the year and then a one piece or a short series, you don't feel like you're going to be the favorite. So you feel a little bit,
You know what I think of every time, commercial? The Wendy's commercial where the guy has that breakfast sandwich that's all greasy and everything, and he takes it and he tries to throw it out the window of the car, and the window's up. Yeah, you know, and it's like splat, and then they show him, and every time they show him, I think, how about it, JD? Is that what Giants fans are going to be saying? No moves? Oh, can this team still get it done just based on what they're going to get from returning injured players?
Hey, Farhan, no moves? I mean, to me, that's exactly what they're going to be saying. That's exactly what they're going to be saying. How can you have this team in this position, taking MLB by storm, coming out of nowhere, and you don't augment the roster with at least some small addition? You can't get a Josh Harrison. You can't get an Ian Kennedy. You can't get a Kyle Gibson. Like, do something, for crying out loud.
And you know what the answer would be. Yes, go ahead, Kyle.
Not breaking news, but just kind of interesting news, given what we're talking about with Chris Bryant and everything.
Wow.
Mark Feinsand is reporting that the Giants have been quiet today, but they remain engaged with the Rockies on Trevor Story. So with the Rays involved with Chris Bryant, could the price be going up to where the Giants say, hey, we're out, we're going to go focus on our division rival shortstop?
And it's difficult, right, Dibs, to make a deal within your division, especially one for a player of that caliber.
And especially, thank you, great uptake, especially for a player who's only played one position. And that position is being held down by a Gold Glover having the best year of his career. So the never-ending story, where does it go? Do you try him at third, but Longo's coming back? Do you put him in the outfield where, okay, hopefully you put him alongside a couple of good defenders, because Trevor Story's never played the outfield at this level, JD.
Yeah, I could see them thinking they're going to throw him out in left field and just see what happens, kind of like the Giants did, 11 years ago with Pat Burrell, right? And Burrell had been an outfielder, I know, but at that stage of his career, I mean, there really wasn't a lot going on for him in the outfield. Hey, just go stand out there, catch everything that's hit right to you, don't play a double into a triple, and make all the plays you're supposed to make and hit home runs when you're at the plate, Whitey. I feel like... Yeah. I would be willing to give up less for Story just based on the fact that he wouldn't be a positional fit than I would be for Bryant, who has proven that he can play multiple positions and play them effectively.
How about this? I know a lot of people have been waiting for the Giants, the carriage, to turn into a pumpkin. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But there's one Giant who has turned back into a pumpkin this year. He has been phenomenal since Farhan brought him in. And I'm talking about Donnie Barrels, right? Donovan Solano. This year, Donovan Solano, all of a sudden, he's been like Donovan Solano was before the Giants got him. A little underperforming. He's had his moments. He's not a good defensive second baseman. He hasn't been hitting. So how about if you're looking, how are we going to be better? What about if you get Trevor Story, and I'm with you, he could play outfield. The Padres supposedly wanted him to play center field. How about Trevor Story? You plug him into second base.
It's not bad. And, you know, second base, as far as... you know, finding new positions on the diamond that you're trying to play. If you're a shortstop, getting to second base is not as dramatic of an adjustment to me as it would be to go in the outfield. I know the pivot at second base is different.
Yeah.
The footwork is totally different, the throw, etc. But I think Trevor Story, playing infield as long as he had or has, could probably adjust to that easier than adjusting to the outfield.
And the depth that it would create is another part of this, Whitey. It's, all right, if you brought Story in to play second, I like that. I think that's a good thought.
Good
and then
work.
Maybe
yeah.
Solano goes and he's a pinch hitter, you know, late in the game. You got La Stella coming back. I mean, the Giants actually could, with everybody coming back and one move, they could be pretty deep and ready to step in and have players that can pinch hit, as they've gone with those line changes all year long.
I'd also say this real quickly. Playing second base, it's not as difficult as it used to be because you don't have to worry about guys taking you out, right? I mean, so that makes it – that's why you got guys like Max Muncy playing second base now. It's illegal for the runner to take the second baseman out, so it's a little less of an adjustment than it would have been a few years ago, in my professional opinion.
Also, the shift now has made it to where playing second base is like playing right field. You know, it's not playing you're not playing the old school second base that we all played as a longtime second baseman. Not because I was good at second base, but because I was so small and so scrawny that they had to play me somewhere, Whitey.
Scrappy second baseman, right? That's you, Dan Dibley, scrappy. All right, we're keeping our eye on the clock and the trade deadline. Going to swing our attention once again back to the NBA draft. The Warriors thrilled to get Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody. And Moses Moody's one of his college coaches, Keith Smart, former Warrior head coach. He's now an assistant at Arkansas. Keith Smart's going to join us with a Moses Moody scattering report next. It's Steiny, Guru, and Dibs with Dibs, Whitey, and JD today on this very eventful Friday, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Meister Maximus, Whitey Gleason,
and John,
that's a problem,
Dickinson on 95.7 The Game.
Keith Smart, assistant coach at Arkansas, going to join us in just a moment here on 95.7 The Game. By the way, guys, real quickly, another Dodger edition, Seager is being activated. So they're getting Seager back as well today as we await word on what, if anything, the Giants are able to do at the deadline. But yes, last night, of course, the NBA draft, the Warriors thrilled to come away with the 7th pick, Jonathan Kuminga, and at 14, a plum falling in their laps, Moses Moody, a 3-and-D guy from Arkansas, selected by the Warriors. Nice enough to join us with more on Mo Moody. Of course, played in the NBA, former Warrior and Kings coach, currently an Arkansas assistant coach. Keith Smart with us. Coach Smart, thanks for your time. How are you today, sir?
Man, I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. How about Mo Moody? What about his game do you think will translate best to the NBA, Coach?
Well, I tell you, one of the biggest things is, having been prepared for him, his opportunity to go to the NBA. You know, I was working and playing for Coach Musselman that I had during my days, but also being here in Arkansas now as assistant coach and being able to see what he does and how he prepares these young men for the life after the game with their school, their academics. And then, obviously, all these young men want to go to the NBA. And so everything that we're doing here and everything he's set up is then pretty much how do you get this player to the NBA? Because every kid wants to go there, without a question. And I think the surrounding that we're in and how he goes about it. I mean, I feel no different than with me coaching all my years in the NBA, that I'm in this environment here and he's running it like an NBA place.
When you look at the way the Arkansas tournament run went with double-digit deficit followed by double-digit deficit, what does that speak to Moses Moody's internal countenance and his overall mental toughness being a part of all those comebacks you guys had?
Well, see, the beautiful part of that is that with a player, and especially with a guy like Moody, is that you every possession is valuable now because you can't make mistakes when you're making those kind of runs. You know, so every possession from an offensive position, from a defensive position, all those play in great hands when you now making it the jump to play in the NBA. That's showing that you've been tested, that you've been battle tested in some tough moments. And you know, obviously, when you play an NCAA tournament, it's one game or go home. And so any lingering of a mistake or turnover, you have to get your emotions back under control pretty quickly. And that's what I've been able to see. You know, this is my first year here. But as I started getting myself ready to come here, I started prepping and watching film of the team and watching the players and what they had done and what they are doing. And you just saw that that he had that ability. And I think the environment that was set up by Coach Musselman will make this a much smoother transition for him, because he's going into it having gone through pretty much things that you have faced in the NBA. Obviously, the talent is going to be a little bit different. But as far as getting himself prepared to get ready to play in the NBA, I think this environment has really helped him.
Keith, where's his defense at as far as it being NBA ready? Can he guard multiple positions? You got to be a real intelligent defender for the Warriors, because they like to switch everything, and you got to be in the right spot. How does his defense translate?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Number one, first off, no one is prepared for NBA defense yet until you get there, you know. But you do have to have building blocks. And I think what he has already is the building blocks, because, you know, Musselman switches here. He runs pick and rolls where they're going to be forcing the ball down. He runs pick and roll defenses where he's going to be trapping the basketball. So three combinations of pick and roll that defense that you'll see in the NBA, he's already experienced those. Now he'll make another adjustment to where the pace of which how guys are going to come off a pick and roll when you're switching and trying to contain that basketball.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But he's already been schooled on the various pick-and-roll types that he's going to face, because Musk didn't have just a one type of pick-and-roll coverage. He has multiple coverages, because that's what he's going to deal with in the NBA. You have your base coverage, but I think when you're able to switch, because some players can get locked in to where they can't switch to another type of coverage, but that may be necessary in a particular part of a game, and I think that's why he's been well prepared for it. And I think he has the length, you know, he has the size to be able to keep smaller players in front of him. And then he has the strength a little bit. And that'll get better as he gets more experience in the NBA when he's guarding some bigger players.
Former Warrior head coach, former NBA player Keith Smart with us. Keith Smart, a coach at Arkansas, one of Coach Musselman's assistants. So he coached Moses Moody at Arkansas. Moses Moody, one of the newest Warriors. So Coach Smart giving us a scouting report. How about when you made the transition, Coach, as you went from the college game to the pro game? And I know it was a while ago, but it's still, you know, professional basketball from college basketball. For you personally, what was the biggest adjustment as a player to the professional game?
Well, I'll tell you, it was I got introduced to a guy named Terry Teagle when I was drafted by Golden State. And I tell you, my hands were full once I got there and started playing pickup basketball one-on-one, because those guys are already their experience. You know, they're young men with mortgages and kids to take care of. And so when someone new coming in to try and play there, these guys are going to let you know. And they're going to let you know quickly that what you did in college means absolutely nothing once you get into that environment there. You know, but they're going to be very respectful. So I think the biggest thing was you're playing against really grown men now, and you're playing against guys who have been in the NBA for a while. They're strength-wise, they're stronger, they're going to be quicker. Then you eventually get acclimated to that. But the speed of the game is going to change. And those players that make that adjustment, but all of them will go through a portion of that. So I think the pace of when you're in an environment, a college environment that's kind of conducive to how the NBA moves and plays, but you still can't simulate that because now you're going against a different type of athlete in the NBA in the professional ranks.
And not to make the comparison of Moses Moody to Steph Curry, because that's unfair to any player, but just remembering Steph as a young player and when Klay Thompson came in, how quickly were they able to assimilate to the NBA style and really get their comfort zone together?
Yeah, well, you know, I was there when Steph came in as a rookie, you know, and again, the body type. Your body has to make an adjustment, and obviously we have the best trainers in the world, and a strength conditioning coach is going to get those guys' bodies up to speed over time. And so that's a big adjustment when you're going from a physical standpoint, because we always hear on draft day, he needs to get stronger, he needs to get bigger. And that's going to be a process over time because you can't just, you know, when I came to Golden State back in 1988, you know, I was this little skinny kid that I thought I was stronger than everyone else as a senior in college. But when I got to the NBA, I was this small guy again. And you had to go through that transformation of the training, the strength conditioning coaches got with you. And you got stronger, but you become more acclimated to the physical part of the game. And with Steph, you know, when he came in that first year, you know, he had some of the injuries with his ankle and things like that. He was very thin. And then over time, he got stronger, you know. But Steph already had, and Klay as well, those guys already had relentless ability to conditioning-wise already because they were shooters that knew how to play without the ball. And I think that really helped a great deal. But overall, I think as you move into that next professional rank, you're going to get with those strength coaches. They already have everything mapped out for you, what you're going to need. You know, you're not going by a happenstance of just saying, okay, well, hey, I think I need to go lift some dumbbells today. There's a plan. When they drafted you, they already had a plan in place, probably today. It's already in place. So when they get their hands on you, they're going to start implementing those things to help you get a little bit better, to fast-track yourself to NBA.
Keith, obviously a big part of the attraction for the Warriors to Moody is his ability to shoot the three ball, but that doesn't tell the full story with him as far as, you know, what types of threes does he like to take? Is he a catch and shoot? Can he get it off the dribble? Where on the court are maybe some of his hot spots? Like what is Moses Moody's game beyond just looking at his percentage?
Yeah, I think you're going to look at, obviously, all will start with being spot shooting because, you know, obviously, with that team there, you're going to have Draymond handling the basketball, you have Steph handling the ball, things like that. So you won't be the guy probably coming off and dribbling the ball to the floor with a jump shot, three-point shot behind the three-point line. You know, it's going to be where he's playing off of those guys, you know, when there's a mistake happened by the defense and the ball is kicked to him, and he's going to play in a spacer role. Over time, I think it'll develop where he'll be able to be around a catch-and-shoot player. And obviously, he's in the best possible place to be with elite shooters, not pretty good shooters or really good shooters. Well, we're talking about some of the best in the history of the game with how these guys shoot the basketball. So he's going to get a great opening, eye-opening for him and watching those guys practice every day, watching those guys when they go through their routines, post-practice or pre-practice, he'll get a feel and he'll acclimate to those guys. And I'm sure those guys will be willing to share a lot of their knowledge with them going through their rookie year and then as they move through their veteran season. So he's in a perfect position. And over time, it'll determine where his threes will come from and how. You know, he probably won't be a ball-handling guy as much right now, but I'm sure he'll be able to grab rebounds, which he can, and be able to push the ball to the floor. But like a lot of bright-eyed rookies, I don't think he's going to be pushing up, coming off, and pulling up for a three when he got Steph or Draymond or Klay sitting out there waiting for the ball.
Former Warrior coach Keith Smart with us on 95.7 The Game. Keith Smart, an assistant at Arkansas, so he's coached Moses Moody, one of the newest Warriors. Keith, how much did playing in Coach Musselman's offense, how did that prepare Moses for playing in the Warrior offense? And if I may, a follow-up to what you were just talking about offensively, how big is that adjustment for a college guy to go to the longer three-point shot? Because we have seen some guys really struggle with that initially.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, well, first, I didn't coach him. This is my first year here at Arkansas. You know, As I came into this year, I've been now, as I started to get ready to be assistant coach here, I started to watch their team and get a chance to get a feel for how they played. And so from that standpoint, well, you got a big jump from that line. That line, college line, is shorter than the NBA line. So you're going to have to make that adjustment, you know. But however, I do know that when those guys are working out here and they do their regular workout, which is for their, for what they have to do as a college player, but they also have their lines on the floor to where they shoot and work on their professional shots, you know, which is a little bit deeper. And I think, you know, but the speed of how players, once they know you can shoot, the speed of how quickly the defense can get to you, you know, and how quickly he can get his shot off. But again, when it happened and he got drafted by Golden State, and knowing that he's going to be in an environment where there are elite shooters, they're only going to help him fast track his ability to be a player in the NBA. But still, got to get acclimated to that distance of that line. Now at a live pace in the NBA environment.
Coach Smart, thanks so much for your time and your insight. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon, sir.
Okay, take care, man.
All right, yeah. Former Warrior coach, former Kings coach, right, JD? Keith Smart on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, along the long list of coaches that were Warrior and Kings coaches throughout the years, including Eric Musselman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Luke Walton, yeah. Rick Adelman, among them. I wonder if two franchises share more coaches or former head coaches than the Warriors and Kings do. I'd be hard pressed to find another one because, you know, Gary St. Jean is another one. As we could put together another three or four, I'm sure, that I'm forgetting.
Moses Moody at the 14th pick. The Warriors were thrilled to have a shot at him there. 3-and-D guy, JD, just the type of player we think the Warriors were looking for. Somebody who, okay, maybe not the highest ceiling. Who knows? You never know about that. But a guy that you should be able to count on next year to come in and help and give you some things that you need as a rookie, which is not easy to do at this level.
No, it's not easy to do, and you start to get the board out and pencil in where guys fit at this point, and you look at Steph and who's going to be the starting two-guard, Dibs, with Klay Thompson out at the beginning of the season. We got another reaffirmation that's going to be the case from Bob Myers last night. Wiggins, obviously, at the three. Draymond at the four. Kevon Looney projects to be the starting five with James Wiseman working his way back in. So you've got Wiseman and Poole as that second tier. Could Moody fit into that? And then I know you mentioned Kent Bazemore earlier. Does Kent Bazemore and Damian Lee fit, or do you have to go out from the outside and get better players to help augment that top 10?
You hope to get better players, but, I mean, especially with Kent Bazemore. Damian Lee, again, I think has value being at the price he is, being a family member and, you know, being somebody who is a part of the fabric. So I wonder if you can't upgrade significantly at those spots if you don't just bring back known commodities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then, of course, you got at the 7th pick, you got Jonathan Kuminga, a kind of a mystery man with a lot of upside. And the Warriors say, we love him. We're not going to trade him. I still think the smart money says the Warriors would love to kind of stash him, keep him as kind of a project. The less other teams see of him at the NBA level, perhaps the more trade value he has. So the next time around, be it next offseason or next year at the trade deadline, next chance the Warriors have of maybe making a play for a big name, maybe Kuminga is one of the key assets in any package they can put together for such a player.
Yeah, keep that value high. And I think for the time since James Wiseman was drafted, the conversation has been, what can he become? But he's also the first player that gets thrown into a potential trade for a star. Now I think you're going to have Wiseman and Kuminga be in that conversation when we start to go down that road that can get incredibly tedious. But I think it's going to be, what can you get? Like, anytime there's a rumor surrounding any kind of star player, as has been the case, Dibs, with Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard and really anybody else, it's been 7-14 or Wiseman and this. Well, now it's going to just shift, I believe, to what can Wiseman and Kuminga get you in a package to try and bring back a high-end talent.
Well, JD, which has more value, 7-14 without you making the pick, or Kuminga and Moody having made the picks?
I think it's the two picks combined, specifically what you asked. I think it's the picks without the names attached to them.
Okay.
And they didn't have, it turns out they didn't have that much value, right? I mean, it turns out Bob Myers went a call and he didn't find a lot of people that were necessarily very interested in that package.
Kuminga, though, Dibs, I do think alone has as great a value or greater. I think Kuminga alone has a greater value than number seven, because I think there was a more likely than not case that Kuminga was not going to be available at seven. And so, I mean, Book Knight or Davion Mitchell or somebody like that, like, Kuminga's got far more value just in terms of sheer trade value than those players would have today. So I think Kuminga's almost a separate case. Moody, that's a guy you have just because you like his game. I don't know that there's a lot of inherent added value to somebody that projects to be solid.
And I wonder if there's a team out there that might be interested in winning the under 20 world championship and thus mm-hmm. would want to trade for Kuminga and Wiseman. And I also wonder if Wiseman didn't get hurt. Let's say he had the year he had without the knee injury. It was up and down. It was more underwhelming than it was overwhelming. What would his trade value be without injury in a package with Kuminga? You know, a team that's really looking for 3 or 4 years down the road. And I keep thinking about OKC, a team that is, you know, 3 years away from being 3 years away. What mm-hmm. other team out there might be covetous of these young prospects?
Yeah, and look at it this way, Dibs. Let's say that somebody's available that you really like, that you think, if we get this guy, I don't know who, but you get this guy, we could be a contender again. What kind of package can we put together to a team that maybe wants to get rid of that guy and they want to rebuild? Okay, to make the salaries match, we'll give you Wiggins, okay? And then we'll give you Kuminga. There's two forwards, and we'll give you a center, Wiseman. And you want Jordan Poole? You're practically giving somebody, you could, if it came to that, you could practically give a team almost an entire starting lineup.
Yeah. No, I think that you could, and I think that gives the Warriors the options that they covet moving forward here. I don't think they're out of the superstar business. They just found either clunky fits or teams that were unwilling to move players at this particular point in time. I think they view this as, hey, we've revamped the player development staff, so yep. hopefully that benefits Kuminga and Wiseman. And look, even if the benefit is twofold. The benefit of those guys developing is maybe they help the Warriors and they're a part of a second core, or they're a part of the tail end of the current core. But it also, the better those players become, only inflates their value and the ability to put a package together to bring back whoever the next star is. Beal and Lillard, that was kind of thin. But there's going to be more stars, Dibs, that come available as time moves forward.
And I think in the next week or 2 weeks, as we get into real NBA free agency, and then probably quiet until you get to February and the trade deadline, where mm-hmm. things could potentially ramp up again. But to your point, JD, if they do play well and they do show that they're ahead of the curve and Wiseman comes back and he's showing the promise of a number two overall pick, well, now you're not as motivated to trade these guys. If Moody, Kuminga, and Wiseman all take big steps forward and they're now rotation pieces that you can actually play and believe in, well, now you don't have to make a trade because you've got a deep enough team.
On the text line, 888-957-9570 from the 714, is Kuminga another Allen Smilagic? That's not fair to Kuminga. It's not fair to Smilagic. It's not fair to Dibs. Not fair to JD. It's not fair to me. You're not being even fair to yourself asking that question, Dibs, in my opinion. And yeah. I don't know where the 714 is, and that's on me.
That's San Diego, I believe, in Southern California. Weren't you the guy who called him Kuminga-geach earlier today?
No, that's the first I've heard of that just came out of your mouth. It's the first I've heard of that. From the 650, I believe that Moody and Wiseman are great foundational pieces for the future. I'm hopeful for the future after this year's draft. It is possible, right, that the Warriors, even if they're hell-bent on sending some of these packages out somewhere soon for a great player, that's possible that that trade will not present itself. And maybe, yeah, maybe you've got Moody and Wiseman and Kuminga and your core 2.0 going forward. You have to be in a position to move in that direction if that's what circumstances dictate.
Yeah, and Dibs mentioned this earlier, which I think is interesting. It's nice to say, and it's fun to believe until you actually get to the season. And I think a lot of Warrior fans are going to be really talking themselves into, wow, this team's really set up for the future, and it's core 2.0. And then we get to November, and it's like, wait a minute, why is Kuminga not playing and getting sent to Santa Cruz? Why has he played 5 minutes in the first 15 games of the season total? Why is Moody, some nights he's getting 4 minutes, some nights he's getting 8 minutes, some nights he's not playing at all? Like, I think it's fun to dream about that future, but then when you get to the point where the regular season is going on and these guys aren't a factor, I think those emotions quickly turn. That optimism quickly turns to, how come these guys aren't able to play right now? And it becomes kind of an angry tone.
And it's going to be difficult because you've got 3 or 4 graduate level players on this Warriors roster. I think I just coined a new 95 abbreviation. But wait,
breaking news!
Oh my goodness!
Brought to you by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit betql.com today.
ESPN's Jeff Passan reporting 7 minutes before the MLB trade deadline is up. Chris Bryant is heading to San Francisco. This is via Jeff Passan of ESPN. Nice. We have confirmed that it is, in fact, his account.
KB.
Chris Bryant now heading to the San Francisco Giants, a huge bat in the middle of their lineup. Somebody who can play multiple positions.
Five. He's played 5 positions this year.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Normally I would hate anyone to interrupt me when I'm talking about the roster of the Golden State Warriors. But man, I see the tweet right now. Bryant to SF. Source tells ESPN. It's huge. Mm. It's what's needed, Whitey. This is absolutely the elixir that the Giants needed, and the fans can all take a deep breath.
Well, we still have to wait and see what they gave up, and I think we've talked about this. If you go back to when the Orioles traded Machado to the Dodgers a couple years ago, the price wasn't that high. So to move a guy, a rental, a position player this time of year, typically the price is not that high. So I can't wait to find out what the Giants give. It's possible Farhan just sat there like, nope, you're not getting Joey Bart, not getting Joey Bart. Really anxious to find out how much or how little the Giants gave up to get Chris Bryant on his way to the Bay. Let's take a timeout here. We'll be back with the fallout from the trade deadline. Who knows? There may be more that are going to happen in the next 5 minutes. We're all over it here on this trade deadline day edition of Steiny, Guru, and Dibs with Dibs, Whitey, and JD today on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.